All right, as I was mentioning there earlier about the lady mentioning about, and you thought about heaven, holy city, and I was thinking on that, and I've been to a lot of cities that at a distance, they look pretty, and sections of them look pretty up close, walking through them. But no cities are pretty from one side to the other. If you go into them, you'll find that there's areas that don't look very good. And as I was thinking about that, the picture that I've always had of heaven, there's no slums to that city. There's no back alleys where things are hid, where things are being done in dark places, because that whole city is light. And really, there's not a whole lot in the Bible that's wrote about heaven if you get to really searching it out. It mentions it in a lot of places, but yet you don't get a whole lot of details. You'll get it on the walls, you'll get it upon the throne, you'll get it up on the river. But there's so much of the city that we've got to picture in our mind till we get there. And I'm afraid too many times we have pictures of things maybe like what we've seen here on earth. And as I was thinking, well, let's read this scripture and then we'll get into some of that. In Revelation, what we're going to read, the 20th chapter, gives you quite a bit about heaven. But in the 22nd chapter, where we want to read, starting with the very first verse, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation." Now, as I read that, I was thinking about of what people travel so far to see. And you'll hear in the news every year about how beautiful Washington is during the cherry blossom time. And these cherry trees were given to us by Japan, if I ain't mistaken, and planted all along this area in Washington. And when they're in bloom, it's beautiful to see. And if a person goes at that time and they're in that part of the city, you can think of, oh, what a beautiful place this is. What a beautiful city with the reflecting pool and all of the monuments and the great buildings. Oh, how pretty it is. But yet, all of that, travel just a few blocks out and you'll find the sun. I used to work and deliver into the wholesale housing in Washington, D.C. Coming in there 4 o'clock in the morning to the wholesale housing. Not down where all of the pretty monuments were, but out in the working area. And you find people there asleep upon the park benches. You find drunk laying on the sidewalk by town. You find the bell blowing down the street of a little bit of everything. All kinds of cans rolling in the gutter. All of them. But that wasn't a part that the tourists come to see. So nobody worried too much about it. But you and I today, when we stop to think of the things of heaven, we cannot even picture anything like that, because no place in that city is there any filth, any trash, anything that would be just pure perfect. And you say other cherry blossoms there again, the trees they call cherry trees, because they're all spring of a cherry. But that person that's there in the spring when they're blooming and looking so pretty, if they come back later in the year expecting to find some fruit hanging on them, they're going to be disappointed. Why? It doesn't bear fruit like that. It's just pretty, prettiest when it's in bloom. But God said here, this tree, it'll be blooming. It'll be bearing fruit all of the time. You and I today, we've got a picture of it, but it isn't as it really is. Am I cannot begin to comprehend what God has in store for it. I've not seen a tree in bloom that you can pick fruit from at the same time. But yet in heaven, that's what it's going to be. I've never seen a river not flowing with the magnitude of what that will be coming from the throne of God. I've thought about it many times in my life. But when I moved here to Missouri and visited some of these huge springs where there's literally millions of gallons coming out of the ground in a 24-hour period, where just thousands of gallons a minute coming out of the ground, it's hard to comprehend if you've never seen one. But these, if you look at them, they're not clear as a crystal. They've got a little bit of a tint to them, all because of the minerals and things that tell them. They look, if you look down in the mouth of that spring, it looks an aqua color. Why? Because of the minerals and the things in that water. But yet, when we get to heaven, though if you dip this water up here, it's just a little bit. If it's shallow, just a few feet deep, you'll see it looks real clear. But when we see that river of life that's flowing from the throne, it's going to be clear as a crystal. It's going to be flowing stronger than the spring. It's going to be flowing deeper than all. And yet it can give life that they don't have to give. You and I today, God is so much more than our imagination can even begin to think about. And it's time that we start looking and expecting the coming of the Lord. You know, He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto me, that where I am, there you may be also. I thought of the throne and how beautiful that has been described, and of Christ and the Father sitting there upon the throne. I picture all of the people standing there around it, singing praises unto God. But one of these days, it all that I picture there, it is out of my mind looking at it. But one of these days, by the grace of God, I'll be in there, standing there before the throne of God, not looking at it from a distance in my mind, but experiencing it. Why? Because He said, I prepared this place for you. You and I today, if we've been born again, that's a promise given unto us, that He prepared it for us. It isn't just prepared for everybody else. He prepared it for me, and He prepared it for you, because He knew those that would accept Him, and He's made room for each and every one of us. And you and I today, you know, we've got cities here in America that covers, I don't know, thousands of acres, because they're big. But we don't have a city in America as big as what it says heaven's going to be. There's not a city in the world as big as what it says heaven's going to be. And yet, you think, through all of that, still the beauty. Behold, you think, it speaks about the walls, how high they are, the foundations of them, the 12 gates, and all of this, but the gates are never shut. Open for you and I to go in and out. You know, I'm like my dad. He said he read that and he wondered. It talked about you could go in and out. Dad said, I wondered, why would anybody want to leave if you was there on the inside of that city? Why would you ever want to leave? Well, just to go on the outside to see what else God has there prepared for you and I. And we've been there a million years, 2 million years, or whatever. We can take a little stroll out of all around the city, see what lies beyond it, and come back anytime we want to. While the pros and gates are still open, we don't have to be afraid if we walk out. Somebody gonna close us on the outside, but holy hell. They're open all the time. I ain't gonna stand in any gate. They're the ones for you and me. You and I say, we need to get around, lifted above the things of this world. People today, all we can dwell upon is the trash and the garbage of this world in which we live. But we need to look beyond that. If we listen to the news for just a little while, we can find that the heart of man is truly evil, just as God said. As I was listening to the news this morning, as I was getting ready for church, they was talking about they've arrested a man that dismembered his wife, and he spread her around some, and they're still hunting for all of her parts. And you think, what was in a man's heart that could do something like that? You hear about people, how that they'll abuse little babies and kill them. And you wonder, what could be in a person's heart that they could do something like that? And yet a God that created each and every one of us knows a heart that's of evil. And yet he said, I love you. I'll make a way for you. And sent his son to make that way, that we could rise above this evil world and be blessed to walk upon streets of pure gold. Go to a place where no evil thoughts come to the mind or the heart of those that there. Why only the pure go to that plan? Only the pure in heart will ever see that only city. You and I today, God has made it possible, not because that we deserve it, but because that He loves us enough to make the way, and we desire to go. He's made the way and made it so plain that we cannot err therein, if that's our true desire. You know, I'm a person that loves fruit. And I have always been one that was fascinated by water, streams. Oh, when I lived in North Carolina, I loved to go up on the side of the mountain into the little mountain streams and watch them as they come pouring over the side of the mountain. Just walk up that mountain climbing it and looking at all the pretty little waterfalls and the deep holes in it. And one of my buddies down there, he said, oh, that little stream, he said, it's got native trout in it. And he said, they're so fun to catch. He said, they're not very big. He said, but they are fun to catch.
So I went up there fishing one day, and in a hole that you thought the water was clear, you could see the depth of it. You could not see the fish in there because of it was rippling on top. You could see the rock down on the bottom. But the way it was rippling, you couldn't make the fish out in there. But you could cast a hook in. And these little old mountain trout would grab that, and the way they'd take off, you thought you had something real big for just a second. But when you pulled it out, it's only 6, 7, 8 inches long. But in the heat of summer, they would die about it before you could get them off of the hook. Because they come out of that cold water and it give them such a shock. And they would turn dark. Oh, they were so pretty when you first bring them out of the water. But they turned dark so quick. The life leaving them. They could not stand it out of that pure water. You and I today, God's got everything that we need. Everything that supplies. And He's right there told us He's got a river of life. He's got the tree of life. We can come and stand before Him and His throne. We can sit down with Him and His throne. God promised all of that to each and every one of us. You and I today, why? What is there in this world that we get our mind and our heart on that is than what God has promised us. And each and every one of us, we might think that we've seen some beautiful water. We might think that we've seen some beautiful fruit trees. We might think that we've found something that is unique and truly special here in this world. But when we see heaven, we want to say, there is nothing that can compare with this. There is nothing. You know, I thought I had a picture in my mind of what that stream was flowing from the throne. But I had never seen springs as big as I've seen here in Missouri. And there's even bigger than that. But after seeing these, the biggest one that I've seen, I've multiplied it 10 or 15 times now when I take that river of life. Why? Because God's going to surpass anything that we've ever seen here. You and I today, we need to realize what God has done for us, what we can imagine, is not scratching the surface. I've often wondered, John, when he was writing there in Revelation, I wonder how many times John was thinking, what word? How do I describe this? What can I come up with to make people understand what it is that I'm seeing? When he wrote it the very best that he could, he didn't feel like it was adequate enough to describe it. Have you ever seen something so pretty, so outstanding, that when you went back to tell somebody, when you told them the very best that you could, you felt like, I just didn't get that across. I felt like it so many times when I preached a message. The thought that I had in my mind, what God was giving me when I sat down, I felt like such a failure. Because I just didn't know the word. I just couldn't seem to get it across. What it was I felt. What it was I seen. What was we took that trip out with. And I seen all the beautiful fall. The beautiful fountain. All that I looked upon. Though I'd seen pictures of it. It wasn't like standing there. And looking up at a waterfall falling. Two or three times. What God has in store.
Nobody could describe that to anybody. Get them to understand. Unless they stood there at the base of that tree. Well, me and you, we might not understand what it was that God was trying to communicate. But God said we could go and experience it for ourselves. You know, to see the handiwork in God's hand in everything that He created here, it's beautiful. And it's hard to describe to somebody. But yet, there's so much that man cannot begin to see or even understand. You know, you take what God created here that the sun hits. It's beautiful. But the caves and the things beneath the earth here, you go down in them and you turn the light on and begin to look around. And the beauty that's right there. And God created that also. But when we go to heaven, He said, that city, it'll not need the sun. Because God's going to be the light. The walls of that city will be just light and radiant out beyond that because of the glow of the Father and the Son. Me and you, when we walk out of that city, after being there for however long that we're there, and we decide to take a stroll out beyond that city, we will walk out shining above the brightness of the sun. Why? Because we've been in the presence of God. Moses, after being in the presence of God for just a little while, when he come off the mountain, he had to hang a veil over his face because the people could not look upon him. Isn't it going to be something to be shining and to look around at others shining with the glory of God? I see people's face here in this world when they were being blessed of God just seemed to light up. I see little babies when they smile. Little Jason, just the other day when he was there at the house, I go talking to him and he would just laugh at me. His eyes, everything, it just seemed like his whole face lit up. So pleasant. What's it going to be like when we look into the face of God? Such shouting. You know, you hear people say, well, I wouldn't want to go to heaven because there's not going to be anything to do. Well, I guarantee you, those that wanted to be in a church down here where they was real quiet and very reverent in their mind, where the, you could hear a pin drop all over the church if a preacher wasn't speaking. Well, when we get to heaven, it's going to be one noisy place. Because you think of all the Christians, all down across time, standing there before the throne, looking upon the face of God, shouting to the top of their voice, been redeemed. Think of all that multitude without number. They're praising God. There's not going to be anything quiet about it. And, you know, I've been in the services here to where when the service is over, you just felt plumb weak because of the Spirit had been on you and you shouting, just enjoying the presence of the Lord, and when that left, you just felt physically drained and weak. Well, when we get to that holy city, it won't be that way. We'll have a new body. I don't care how many million years you're there. You'll just be feeling stronger and stronger each and every moment. You and I, God has promised us all these things in the Bible. Read them. Find out what God's promised you. Take hold of it. Believe it. Accept it. think about, you know, when the when the devil tries to get you down and make you think there's no use, you might as well throw up your hands and quit. Go back and think about what God has promised you. Get your eyes upon that. See if it's not worth pressing on. You know, I've heard the testimony of people that got lost, and when they should have given up and should have died, they got their mind upon their family, upon their children or their wife, and they found renewed strength to force themselves to go farther than they even thought they could. Why? Because there was something down inside that gave them a drive and a courage to push on when the body was saying, shut down. Well, you and I, we get our mind and our heart upon heaven the way that we should, we can find the strength, the courage to push on when everything else says you might as well just sit down and quit. You and I today, God is still standing there waiting and watching for us if we'll just get our mind and our heart tuned in with His. He said He wants us to walk with Him. Paul said, be a follower of me even as I am of Christ. You and I, that's what we need to teach our children. You follow me even as I follow Christ. Teach them what God's Word says. You know, granted, it's good to have an education. But if a person can quote you every book in the world and they know nothing about the Bible, it's pitiful. Because the Bible is what guides us for womanhood and manhood. It's what makes us a true child of God. It's what makes us a fit subject to go to heaven. And without it, no matter what else that we know, without it, we cannot please God. We need to come and get our mind and our heart wrapped around the Word of God. You know, the world over, they're trying to dispute it. They're trying to do away with it. But God's Word is going to come to pass just the way that He said. And I don't know about you. My dad, when I was growing up, he liked to fool with grafting things. And he seen in a magazine where he could buy him a tree that was 5 different kinds of apples. But it was real expensive. Well, Dad had several different kinds of apples, and he ordered him 2 others. And then he started him one, and he grafted it and made it himself. And he was real proud of that. And it was beautiful to see a tree there with red and yellow apples on it, striped apples, all this on one tree. You and I, God's got a tree, He said, that bears 12 manners of fruit each and every month. He wants you and I to come and sample. Why not? Why not? I want to see what He's got there. God thought enough of me. You know, I moved to Missouri. That was one of my biggest disappointments, that most of my family and people that I know would probably never see where I live. But that did not change me from loving where I live. Well, I want each and every one to go to heaven. And the Heavenly Father, He wants you to come where He is. He wants you to come and see where He lives. And He's given you an invitation. And He's paved the way. Why not go? Why don't we get some song to sing? Please, get your mind off of the things here. Don't think of heaven as anything that you have seen here in this world, in a city. Because it's far beyond anything we've ever laid our eyes on here. You know, I would just love it to be possible to have a picture, literally a picture of what that city looks like. But when we see it, we will know. But those that miss it for all of eternity will wish that they had been willing to pay the price of neglecting this world that they might be able to go where God is. You and I today, as we stand and sing, if you don't have a picture of what heaven really looks like, or a picture in your mind of what heaven looks like, I beg you, read the Bible. Find out what kind of a love it took for God to make it possible for somebody like me and somebody like you to go to such a place. While we sing.